The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Pretty lucky.
I'm drinking San Pellegrino, by the way.
Speaking of young lovers.
Oh.
Can we go to Lake Fever?
That's called a segue.
Lake Fever. Can I just segue? Desperately, I love Lake Fever. Here's a great little thing.
Did you go to the Hit Museum?
Did. Okay. That quote about... yeah.
Say okay. It, because this is insane.
Isn't this good?
When I read it, I was like, what? I thought this was a cottage song.
I'd heard a little bit about the cholera. have you heard of the cholera?
I've heard of the cholera.
Great. If you have wonderment about your songs, look for things that Gord has said about it. Now he'll change, too, because
sure.
I love the ambiguity of his lyrics. But this is a nice one. Gord had this to say during a Toronto show in the summer of 2006, just before Lake of Fever. I don't know. I know you don't want to hear it, but in 1832, there was a cholera epidemic up and down the lake. Many people died where you stand tonight. And now... here's a song about two young people who don't give a shit.
Hence the word fever.
Oh, my God. Well, that's the Lake Fever. That's cholera. And this was a serious bit of business.
Wow.
So further in that museum article, he says there's a young couple and they're walking through the thing. They're walking through the woods and the boy is nervous. And he just wants to, he doesn't know what to do with this girl, and he's all anxious.
He knows the story of the cholera outbreak in the 1830s.
So he starts to tell her the story.
Right.
Outbreak.
Tell you a story.
Yes, yeah. About the Lake Fever.
She sounds just smart and interesting.
And she's just like, hurry.
Hurry, hurry. And he's like, well, I can skip to the part where I can skip to the end. We can skip to the sex.
That's right.
We skip to the part where we just know each other perfectly.
We can skip to the coital fury.
Right.
Which is I've ever heard it described that way. Nail on the hammer.
Yeah.
That's perfect. Great. Well, and this is the great mixture of... So it's like he wanted to write a song about cholera in the 1830s in Algonquin area, but he's like, well, that's for you know, writing specific songs about tragic things is that's like for Phil Collins to do in 1987. You know, but we've moved like it's a little heavy-handed. This is when was Another Day in Paradise? Maybe 90. Anyway, that's taking it too seriously, and you lose your song. Then isn't for
you're not serving
anymore.
The song.
You're not serving the song because it's a beautiful melody. And then so it's well, what if it's about these kids and promises that we make to each other or that or to ourselves or how we want to see ourselves in the eyes of our lover, which is what the bridge is in this song. And just there's the want. And so to couple that with like, well, I know this story. here's a story about Lake Fever, but here's also young, out of control love promises, which is just so wonderfully human and so great. And it's I love a writer who can comprehend making it a universal experience to
Absolutely.
Remove yourself from it or remove the story from it, whatever you need to do to make it something that people can draw upon. Because
that's right.
Even in what we're discussing right now, we're not exactly right. And if you're a listener and this song is something else to you, then you're absolutely right in your thoughts.
Absolutely.
On it.
Have at it.
I remember reading that Kurt Cobain would write all of his lyrics and they would be intensely personal. And then to make them better for his, this was more out of insecurity though. For production to go into the song, he would take the personal part out. I becomes we, you become they.
Really?
To not make it such a exposing moment.
Right.
And then it changes. So. Then the song becomes mysterious. People draw their own conclusions.
That's right.
And it's a different experience for
people. I think
Kurt
actually draws
from a different area.
Michael Stipe.
What's that?
I think Kurt actually got that technique from Michael Stipe.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt
it. Would do that. Yeah.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they were close.
They were.
Yeah.
He's a big fan.
Yeah. But it's a good move. Wherever it comes from, it's something that is very effective. When you can have multiple meanings and multiple stories, and no one's better at it. No one ever has been better at it or really even done it this much than Gord.
I don't think so. Yeah.
That, and, what a complicated little thing this is.
Yeah. And then just the stuff that should be even basic to a good singer-songwriter, you know, of creating an illusion. He does such a wonderful job because there's that part near the end, that breakdown near the end, where it's, I want to break the hearts of everyone.
Mm, yes,
and then
yes,
it's, I want
it.
To be your wheezing screen door.
That call
I want
and
to
answer.
Be the stars, Algonquin. I want to be your roaring floorboard. I want to break the hearts of everyone.
Oh my God.
And the part right before that, and I was something I'd actually made note of, that call and answer between him and Paul, and this is another way I think Paul really shines
here.
On this record.
Yeah.
Want to be a nobody without a peer. Want to be a thought that's never done. Want to shake your faith in human nature. Want to break the hearts in everyone.
Oh,
it's like he's singing that underneath, and then Gord joins him.
Mm-hmm.
So as though like they've become this one thing by the end of it.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
I'm not trying to make you a believer. Don't want a little piece of your heart. It's like, no, let's get right to the point.
Yeah.
And now, beyond all of this, if you don't think about any of these things, this song just kicks ass.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Even just the
melody is so good. It cooks along. It's got, it feels like a campfire song that got big.
And it's still got that, like, sexy kind of like electronic dancey thing to it with
drums,
the drums
right?
going over top of it.
I don't mean big, like it got big, like it got popular.
No.
I mean like it grows out of, it feels like a kind of a straight up little campfire melody and like
then,
almost like a stripped down song, but then technology works into it and
I would
production
love to hear.
And bigness, you know? Like
I would love to hear just an acoustic version with Paul and Gord singing this song.
Yeah.
Wow, wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
When they did their final concert in Kingston, I was really happy that Lake Fever made it onto the set list.
Thanks for listening to the Tragically Hip Top 40 Countdown. To email us, send an email to tthtop40@gmail.com. We're social. Find us on all the socials at tthtop40.
Podcasts and such.